This Christmas Eve, every one of us need to be reminded that we have a message. We've received a message from God, and that message bears a weighty responsibility, yes, a mandate. And that mandate beckons to our hearts to live for a mission, to live for a purpose, and have a passion for a transcendent cause of life that's bigger than us, that's beyond the temporal parameters of and the horizon of this life. A group of blue-collar shepherds, they experienced the same thing one night on the job. Mind you, these shepherds outside of Bethlehem, the city of David, other than the fact that David was born there and Christmas happened there, we'd really most likely not know much whatsoever about Bethlehem and not really have heard of it at all. It's about 5 miles outside of Jerusalem. And these guys, they experienced something that is central to the history of Christmas. And it beckons to our hearts yet today. Let's take a look at it in Luke chapter 2 and verse 15. Verse 8, rather. The scripture says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night." And verses 1 through 7 naturally lay out how Joseph and Mary, in obedience to the census that the Roman emperor had decreed for all the empire to be taken stock of, and therefore, just as we do in our country as far as politically and everything, when people are counted, there's congressional districts are reapportioned and everything, and yes, I'm sure we're all familiar with gerrymandering and all these types of things, but also it tends to affect taxes and the whole deal, and such was the case in the first century as well. And so the point being is that as Joseph and Mary both were given a message from God by angelic messengers coming from the presence of God, that the child that she was expecting was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and so instead of having her stoned as being sexually immoral or divorcing her secretly, he was informed, "Hey, don't be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and the child will be Emmanuel in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, Isaiah, in the 6th century or so." And so they go to the city of Bethlehem because he was of the house and lineage of David. And so in the fullness of time, the scripture teaches that the Lord Jesus Christ, he was born of a woman, born under the law so that that he could be the ultimate sacrifice to redeem and rescue depraved humanity. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, both through Mary and Joseph, he was both the legal and the royal heir to the throne of Israel. And so when we cry out, when we sing, we are affirming the testimony of Scripture that he is indeed the King of Israel. And he's the greatest king. And the promises of God, of him ruling and reigning with a rod of iron, will yet come to pass in a day yet future. Just as the prophecies of his first coming have been fulfilled, the prophecies of his second coming to the earth will one day yet be fulfilled. And thanks be to God, as members of the church, the body of Christ, living today in the dispensation of grace, we have a blessed hope of the rapture of the church, and we look forward to that day. But until then, we have a job to do. And these shepherds, in verse 8, that says that they were in the same country, and they were living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Not only did they have a blue-collar job, they had to work third shift. This is crazy. And I don't know about you, it's the biblical design of, you know, you look back in Scripture, and it speaks to this. It says evening, morning, first day. You go to sleep at night, not during the day. Yes, I know you got to do what you got to do. And sometimes life is tough, and it is that way. And we live in a modern day world, and we're thankful for, even as we're praying for the church family this holiday, that, hey, we're thankful for medical professionals that are there for our family in a time of need, even on a holiday. And so, and we need to be, just saying that, I'm just mindful of David Lorenz. Unfortunately, he's not with us tonight. It was some 8 years ago. It was when he had his accident on Christmas Eve. And he said, never get hurt on Christmas Eve. There's nobody working in the hospital. Or at least he had a tough time. But thanks be to God, the Lord spared his life. And we need to be in prayer for Becky as well, that the Lord would be merciful to her and bless the surgery this week. So look at in verse 9. And behold, these guys are on the job. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And listen, they didn't have light pollution. And it was like you're in Lambeau Field, voila, like that. And you'd be afraid too. Look at the rest of the verse. And verse 10, it says, the angel said, well, thank you very much. Do not be afraid. And probably the guy who did the laundry, or maybe their wives, probably understood how, or would have understood how afraid they were, if you get my drift. And so it says, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Well, that's good, because I'm scared out of my wits here. And I don't know how you feel when you hear something go bump in the night. But, you know, it was. I know the Wickeries had kind of a peculiar experience recently. And just thankfully, it wasn't in the middle of the night. And thankfully, Lord willing, it turned out to be nothing. But just some wood that fell over on the porch or something like that. But anyway, but look at this in verse 11. There is born to you this day. This is the good news, he says. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ. That means anointed one, the Messiah, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths. You know what those swaddling cloths actually are? Those are burial cloths. And so if you ever wonder, when you read about the wise men, why they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh, why would you bring stuff that they use for embalming dead bodies to a baby shower? Well, because they understood something of the Old Testament prophecies of the Christ being the ultimate sacrifice. And so check this out. It says, you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger, a feeding trough. When we think of a feeding trough, we think of like a buffet. You ever been to a pizza ranch or a Chinese buffet? And yeah, and look at the next verse. It says, verse 13, it says, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, now you think these angels were a little stoked? You think they were a little excited? You think that they had to just, you know, wake up a little bit before they were ready for the special music? Now, these angelic beings, they had to have been absolute on 10, jacked up, excited. It said, glory to God in the highest. You see it on the wall right here. When we sing Gloria in Excelsis Deo, that's Latin for that right there. Glory to God to the utmost, to the nth degree. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And so as we take a look at verses 15 through 20 here, we're going to see several items, several things about the shepherd's response of faith here. And check this out. First of all, we see this. We see their resolve in response to what they experienced. Look at it in verse 15. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, hey, let's go update our Facebook account. Let's go check that. Let me check my... Is that what they said? No, they weren't distracted by social media or anything whatsoever like we tend to be in our day and age. There was one thing that that was on the forefront of their heart and mind, and they were resolute about it. They said this. It says, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. There's really four things we see here about the resolve. So check this out. Right there. It says, let us now. In other words, they were resolved to obey. They were resolved to go at the right time. And so the heart of it is this, is that when God reveals something to you in the pages of Scripture that He is calling us to do, don't put it off. The obedience of faith says, yes, Lord. And so we should never be surprised if we're befuddled as to why we're not growing more rapidly spiritually. You know why? Because oftentimes the ways of God is He does not give us further spiritual light and wisdom and understanding until we obey through by faith the light in the understanding that He has already revealed to us. Because if we're not willing to say, yes, Lord, over here, why should He ever give us more light so that we can say, oh, Lord, no once again? And so these shepherds, they were resolved to go in the obedience of faith at the right time. It says, let us now. What does the Apostle Paul say in 2 Corinthians chapter 6? He says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Do you remember the old Saturday Night Alive radio broadcast? Perhaps you're familiar with the TV show. But when I was a kid, Dad would sit us down and we would listen on Moody Radio, 90.1 WMBI in the greater Chicagoland area, and we would listen to Ron Hutchcraft's, it was like a youth group type of thing, Saturday Night Alive. And there was a classic episode in there. It was called Hell Junction. And yes, kind of harkens back to Screwtape Letters or Frank Peretti's Piercing or This Present Darkness, Piercing the Dark, and these types of things. And so, in Hell Junction, it's obviously a train picture, right? And so in comes the train car into, you know, Hell Junction, and there's just not very many people coming to hell. Not as many people, the demons, they would like to come to hell than otherwise. And so Lucifer, the devil, Satan, you know, he gives them some ideas. They have a little conference committee and everything, and so they go and do it. And so eventually, the place is packed to the gills. I mean, trains are coming in, packed and everything, unloading people. And so they're saying, hey, what's going on? What was your secret method to get more people here at Hell Junction? And you know, this devious little demon, you know what he says? Oh, we told people about Jesus. Don't speak that name here. What are you talking? He said, we told people about Jesus. We just told them that, hey, you got plenty of time. You can trust Jesus as your Savior. You can prioritize your spiritual life tomorrow. But when tomorrow never comes, Hell Junction. The shepherds here, they said, let us now go to Bethlehem. Not only were they resolved to go at the right time, they were resolved to go to the right place. Look what they said. Let us now go where? To Bethlehem. It was revealed to them where they should go. And you've heard it said before, and I'll say it again. The difference in our life a year from now will partly be due to the places we go. Because when we go places, just as the shepherds did, you meet people and our life changes. Dear ones. And so not only this, they were resolved to go for the right purpose. Look what it says in verse 15. Let us now go where? To Bethlehem and see this thing. To see this thing. And they understood that the purpose that they're going here is to see the newborn King of Israel. And the purpose of our lives, as the shorter Westminster Confession of Faith says, that what is the chief end of man? It says to glorify God and enjoy Him, to enjoy God and glorify Him forever. In other words, God is most glorified in and through our lives when we are most satisfied in our relationship with Him and pursuing Him for His, to magnify the glory of all that He is. Christ is the superlative need of the world, including our lives. And look at this. Not only were they resolved to go at the right time and to the right place for the right purpose, but look at this. The rest of the verse, it says, they were resolved to go in the right spirit. It says, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass. Look what it says at the end of the verse 15, which the Lord has made known to us. In other words, they were resolved to, as J. Sidwell Baxter says, to make the most of this revelation that they've received from heaven. And so the angels left. But when the Lord reveals truth to us through the pages of Scripture, and His Holy Spirit is illuminating the truths of the Word of God with our in tandem with our spirit, does God's Spirit leave us? The angels did. The Holy Spirit does not. He abides. Thanks be to God. And so every one of us need to be faithful to the prompting and urging and conviction and the guidance of God the Holy Spirit in tandem with the pages of Holy Scripture. And look at the next verse. It says, and they came with haste. There it is again. Let us now go. It says, and they came with haste. In other words, they weren't just meandering aimlessly, or just they weren't just going to, hey, I'm going to, like I tend to do, and I'm sure you do it too. It's like, all right, I need to go to the bank, and so I'm going to the bank when I'm running errands, I'm going to go over to the library too, and I'm going to stop over, drop off some plastic bags over at Shopko, and then it's a sale day over a practical sense, so I'm going to stop over there. I'm sure you do the same thing as far as like, hey, you go out and run errands and you do four or five things at once and you tend to run into people that you know. And then your phone's lighting up just like, hey, where are you? And so, well, you know how it is. You run into people and everything. You have conversation. And so, but look at these guys. They were undeterred, verse 16. It says, and they came how? With haste. We see the shepherd's reward here. The shepherd's reward is due to the response of faithful obedience. And this response of faithful obedience confirmed the truth of the message that the angels had given to them. Look at it says, and they came with haste. And what did they find? They found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And that was the reward. What is the greatest treasure of your life? A wise man once said, I want to fill my life with people, not paper. And you know me, I like putting in good bulletin inserts every Sunday, and I like dishing out gospel tracts. But may we never forget, in the midst of so much paper in our lives, and yes, maybe you do very seldom ever pay any bills via paper anymore, and that's fine. But may we never forget that the greatest treasure of our lives is indeed immaterial. It's not printed on paper. It's branded on our heart and our soul with the precious royal blood of the living God, Jesus Christ. The greatest treasure of our lives is Christ Himself and living to the praise of His glory. And so this was the shepherd's reward here. And mind you, as J. Sidwell Baxter says, he said that these shepherds were the first, consider this, these guys were the first mortals. The first mortal beings, apart from Mary and Joseph, to see the incarnate Christ. And you know what? The Scripture doesn't explicitly lay it out for us. Did they leave their sheep? Did they bring their sheep? We don't know. But perhaps their response of faith to the Lord was at the expense of their sheep just being out there. They were just going to trust God for it. We don't know. But we can be confident to before the Lord that what He calls us to do, He's going to give us the grace and the wisdom to do it. Look at the next verse right here. We see the shepherd's report. Look at verse 17. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it, verse 18, marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And so we see the shepherd's report here. And first of all, there's really three dynamics to the report. It was widespread, it was factual, and it was impressive. Watch this. Look at verse 17. Now when they had seen him, Christ, they made widely known the saying which was told them. They got the word out. They didn't keep it to themselves. They understood that, hey, if this child is indeed who the angels declared him to be, and we've seen it, and we've confirmed it with our own eyes and our experience, and our hearts are ready to burst, then listen, we are morally responsible to, and we are under mandate to get this out to where it needs to go. They spread it. In verse 17, they made it widely known. It was a widespread report. And look at what it says. They made widely known the saying which was told them. In other words, that what they were spreading was factual. It was according to the fulfillment of the prophetic word of God. And it had been revealed to them and announced to them by the angelic host. So it was a factual report. So we need to be very diligent and intentional. And when we're communicating and distributing and passing out Christian literature, and whether it's utilizing social media and these things, that we are intentionally spreading truth and righteousness and godliness for the glory of Almighty God. Because listen, there is all kinds of frivolous nonsense and peripheral stuff that we can get caught up in and be complicit in spreading in the public arena via social media, for example. Let's be more intentional, like the shepherds did, to spread widely, to make widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 18. Not only was the report widespread and factual, but it was impressive. Check this out in verse 18. And all those who heard it marveled or wondered. They were amazed at those things which were told them by the shepherds. It doesn't necessarily mean that everybody responded. It wasn't necessarily like it was a Holy Spirit revival and everybody's getting saved, but some probably did, responded in faith to the truth of who Christ is. The newborn King of Israel came into the world to rescue sinners. But listen, as Bible-believing Christians, we have intelligent, rational, logical reasons for what we believe and why we believe it. And do we really believe that what we believe is really real? And are we going willing to lay our lives on the line, our time, our treasure, and our talent invested in eternity in such a way that and be able to communicate the truth of God in such a way that it demands a response from people? Because listen, we don't have a blind faith, dear ones. We have an impressive faith in Jesus Christ. And look at this. May we always remember that oftentimes it is in the furnace of affliction of our lives that the Lord uses adversity to purify our hearts so that we would afresh cling to the cross of Calvary and the living faith that we have in a living God. That is a testimony, especially when there's peace and then tranquility of joy in our lives, that is a testimony that is powerful and yes, indeed impressive to a world in which there is little to no semblance of stability and peace apart from Jesus Christ. Look at this in verse 19 says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. In verse 20, then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. We have here the shepherds return, and we have the shepherds rejoicing. Check this out. In verse 20, it says, then the shepherds returned. J. Sidwell Baxter, he says, do we think that such an experience, after such an experience, they, the shepherds, would not wish anymore to return to their ordinary work? These were blue-collar guys working the night shift. Baxter, he says, here's an important lesson. He says, most of us must return to so-called secular work, and we are meant to return to it in such a way as to glorify it, in other words, to sanctify it because of the vision of Christ which we now carry in our minds. So these guys, after encountering the Lord Jesus Christ, they went back to their blue-collar work. They returned, but they were changed. And that ought to be the testimony of our lives as well. Regardless of what vocation the Lord has landed us for such a time as this, to be God's man, to be God's woman, wherever He places us. Because listen, there's people that every one of you engage and encounter, have interaction with in your day-to-day lives, that others in our assembly will very seldom, if ever, have any contact with. And so any given Sunday, when you feast on the truth of the Word of God and you become equipped to live on mission for Christ, you're growing in your understanding of the message and the mandate and the mission that we are responsible for to make a difference in those people's lives that you see day by day. And you know what? Just so happens that Christmas time lends itself toward ready, open opportunities and doors. But look at this, and at the end of verse 20 it says, they returned, and what was their rejoicing? It says, they were glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. See, these guys returned to their labor, and just as Francis Schaeffer said, I just pray that we never forget this, that there are no little people in no little places. You may say, well, I'm just whatever. But listen, you can be God's man or God's woman making a difference where He has placed you. And just as the shepherds did, their rejoicing was this, is they glorified, they magnified, and they praised God. In other words, their testimony was objectively directing people to Jesus Christ. May that be the case in our lives. Because do we understand that apart from hearing of Jesus Christ, somebody cannot get saved? And how can somebody ever get saved? How can they ever trust Jesus Christ if we don't tell them? And so if we have a knowledge, an understanding of the grace of God, we are morally responsible to bring the truth of the Word of God into people's lives. And it's not just, oh, I'm gonna preach Christ by my life, and I'm just going to be salt and light in that way. And they'll just see, yes, yes, yes. But it's not either or. It's life and lip, dear ones. And it just so happens when we actually open up our mouths and actually explicitly invoke the name of Jesus Christ, that really is forcing us to take more personal ownership of our faith. And that's where the rub is. Because it's not just the preacher's responsibility to minister Christ to the people in this world. It's every one of our responsibility, just as the shepherd's faith was demonstrated in their response of obedience to the message that they were given from the angelic host. But you see this right here? In verse 20, they returned. Where did they return to? Look at in verse 8. They were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. Did you know that for centuries, Adrian Rogers, he says this. He says that for centuries, the Jewish priests had been raising Passover lambs there in Bethlehem. Hundreds of years. He says those shepherds' fields outside of Bethlehem were fields where a very special breed of sacrificial lamb was raised and nurtured. They were raised so that one day those lambs might be brought to Jerusalem, and at Passover they might be sacrificed. And these shepherds were keeping watch over these sacrificial lambs. And they were told, go see the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world, the ultimate sacrifice, Jesus Christ. That's glorious stuff. And it certainly sanctified their work. And it's a shift that they'd be talking about with the old boys perhaps for the rest of their lives, surely. How about you and I? How well do we understand what we believe? How well do we understand the message that we've received from God? We have received the gospel of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. How well do we understand what we believe and why we believe it and know how to defend the exclusive truth claims of biblical Christianity before an antagonistic world that is increasingly secular and filled with hatred for Almighty God? But greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. And if God be for us, who can be against us? It's exciting living on mission for Jesus Christ. And I would encourage you, if you really are uncertain whether or not you're saved this evening, or you're really uncertain as far as what you believe, there are manifold opportunities to grow in your understanding of the Word of God. Any given Sunday showing up is a case in point example. And some of you are eager to take the extension class next month, the Berean Bible Institute, held right here on site. Great opportunity. How well do we understand not only our message, but our mandate? Do we understand that we have a responsibility before God to minister Christ? We have a mandate. And how, therefore, are we planning to fulfill our missional responsibility? Missional. That means it's actually doing something. Action-oriented. And not just thinking about it. Not just considering it. Not just pondering it. What am I actually going to do in this next year to pursue Jesus Christ? Just as the shepherds did. Let us now go to Bethlehem. I guarantee you that if we put it off and relinquish haste and any type of urgency, I guarantee you that the flesh, the world, and the devil himself will ensure that any type of, any inkling of spiritual light or urgency or encouragement that you may have once felt from God, that perhaps by the next morning, or a couple hours later, it will be gone. Be resolute. And I would encourage you, if the Lord is prompting your heart to, hey, I really think that I want to make some changes in my life to pursue Christ more intentionally in this new year, this holiday season, let somebody know about it. Let somebody know about it so that we can keep one another accountable and we can encourage one another. Just as today we know how to more specifically pray for Charles and Karen's daughter, Becky, with her surgery this week. But maybe you have something else going on in your life and say, hey, I think I would like to do this. Hey, let somebody know about it so we can pray specifically and encourage one another. Because when you step out in faith, just as the shepherds did right here, look what it says there in verse 18, all those who heard it marveled at those things. When we step out in faith, other people are going to take notice and whoa. It's going to challenge other people regarding the truth claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that your heart is encouraged and challenged this Christmas time, understanding that central to the history of Christmas is the testimony of these blue-collar shepherds whose faith beckons to us today to live on mission for Jesus Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank You that You are indeed great and glorious. You are high and lifted up. And Lord, we're grateful for the testimony of these shepherds who were willing to go now to Bethlehem to see these things which have come to pass. Lord, thank you. And give us greater wisdom to make a difference in the world in which we live, whether it's in Bethlehem, or Nazareth, Galilee, Judea, or wherever we may be found. May you be honored this Christmas time and all the time through Jesus Christ. Amen.